Becca, you're smiling. Maybe that's a nervous. You could say pass. You feel free. I don't do this. I'm not sure if I've ever picked on anybody. You could say pass if you'd rather pass. What do you believe is God's will for your life? Help others. Lee, what do you think is God's will for your life? Preach the gospel. Katie, what do you think is God's will for your life?
Be obedient.
Be obedient. Pat, what do you think is God's will for your life? Surrender. Gene, what do you think is God's will for your life?
Love him.
Love him. Yeah, lots of great answers. We could spend all morning talking about this and wrestling with this. But we won't. I'll get to my message. But you know, what is God's will for our life? That's a big question. We kind of spend a lot of our lives. Randy, what's God's will for your life? Sorry, I don't want to exclude you if you're. That's right. Yeah, I can learn from him. Learning is good. Yeah, honor and serve him. If we look at Romans 8:29, we can kind of get what is God's will for our life. The Apostle Paul writes, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed into the image of his Son. And so God's will for each of our lives is that we each be conformed into the image of Jesus Christ, which will include each and every one of those answers, because each and one of those answers, that's an aspect, an attribute of who Jesus is. So none of those answers are incorrect, and you can come yell at me afterwards if I put you on the spot and you didn't appreciate that, and I'll try to remember to not do that again. But God's will for your life, for my life, for all of our lives, even if we're not a follower of Jesus Christ, well, God still wants to conform us into the image of his Son, which only comes through faith. So if we're to be conformed to the image of his Son, it's important to know what that looks like, who that is, who is Jesus. So what we're going to do, we're going to spend a minute. So who is Jesus? Well, Jesus, he's the Almighty One. Jesus, he's the Alpha and the Omega. He's our advocate. Who's Jesus? He's the author of our faith. He's authority. And these are names given in the New Testament about Jesus. Who is Jesus? He's the bread of life. He's the beloved Son of God. He's the bridegroom. He's the chief cornerstone. He's the Christ. Who is Jesus? He's the coming King. He's the deliverer. He's faithful and true. He's the good shepherd. He's the great high priest. He's the head of the church. Who is Jesus? He's the healer. He's the holy servant. He is I am. He's Emmanuel, God with us. He's the indescribable gift. Jesus is the judge. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lamb of God. He's the light of the world. Jesus is the Lion of Judah. He is the Lord of all. He's the mediator. He's the Messiah. He's the Mighty One. He's the one who sets free. He's our hope. He's peace. He's the perfecter of our faith. He's a prophet, the prophet. He's the Redeemer. He's the risen Lord. He's the rock. He's the sacrifice for our sins. He's the sanctifier. He's our Savior. He's the Son of Man. He's the Son of the Most High. Jesus, he's the supreme creator over all. He's the resurrection. He's the life. He's the righteous one. He's the door. He's the way. He's the word. He's the vine. Jesus, he is truth. He's the victorious one. He's the wonderful counselor. He's the mighty God. He's the Prince of Peace. So these are just 56 names of Jesus that we can find in Scripture. If you don't trust me, you can go ahead and Google these or do a control F within BibleGateway.com. So what we do, we're going to spend this will be our next series. Well, who is Jesus? As we look at his name, it describes kind of a different attribute of him, a different characteristic of Jesus. We can know about Jesus, but as we get to know his name, what Scripture refers to him as, or as he self-identifies as often, the way, the truth, the life, that says a lot about him. For we conformed into that image. So today we're going to start with Jesus as sanctifier. Unpack, what does that mean that Jesus is the sanctifier? Let me pray for our time this morning. Lord, We are so grateful that you are a rich, rich, wonderful, awesome God. If we were all to describe you, we'd come up with perhaps 60, 70 different ways to describe you. You are a fantastic, infinite God. But Lord, we desire to know you better. We desire to know who you are, to know you, to have a close relationship with you. So Lord, we pray this morning that you would open up your word, you would reveal truths to us, you would encourage us, you would convict us, you would draw us closer to yourself. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. So Jesus is the sanctifier. And so, if you'll allow me, let's go back to Genesis chapter 1. God created everything, did he not? God created everything. We'll get to those verses in just a second. But we know that if we look at God, one of his attributes about God is that he is holy. Once in the Old Testament, once in the New Testament, he is referred as holy three times. He is holy, holy, holy. And so being holy God, he is fully and holy, W-H-O-L-L-Y, above all of his creation. He is above all of sin. He is separate from all of the corruption that goes on here at earth. He is perfect because he is independent of it. He is so far above. And so this is God's timeless, one of his many timeless characteristics, one of his timeless attributes. And during this we know that God started creating. We'll skip forward to John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. Talking about Jesus. So in the beginning we have Jesus, he is creating. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. So in the beginning, there is Jesus creating life. There is Jesus. He is God. He is holy. He is above everything, and he is in there creating and creating. And what happens when Jesus, he, the Father, and the Holy Spirit, they make man, they come together, let's make man in our image, after our own likeness. And so when we're made, we are set apart from sin. We're not forged into a sinful world. Adam and Eve, they were created independent of sin. They were created with God to be in this relationship with God, to be set apart to him. When man was first created, we were set apart to God. And that is the definition of to sanctify or sanctification. You'll see that on the back of your bulletin here. To be set apart from this world to God. When we were created, the original intent was that we would be one of God, set apart to him. Verse 4 said that in him was life. John 17:3 also says, this is eternal life that they know you, the only true God in Jesus Christ whom you have sent. So there is life. There is not life apart from God. This is one of our purposes, eternal life, that they know you, not just know about you. We have a academic knowledge of God that you can get from most any school in your world religions class, but that they would know you. And that's what we're trying to do here in this series. We're trying to really know Jesus, know God. And a lot of those attributes are familiar to you. They probably even resonated different feelings, different emotions, different thoughts, which is a good thing. So we were created for this life. We were created to be set apart to God. But then, as we know, man sinned and was no longer set apart for the exclusive use of God. Man was kicked out of the garden, kicked out of this fellowship with God. But the same God, Jesus, who created everything, including man in the garden, he brings us back into a relationship with him. So Jesus, from the beginning, is sanctifying man, is setting apart man to himself. And then we fast forward thousands of years later to the cross, and man is brought back into that relationship with God to be set apart back to him. Ephesians chapter 2 says it a different way. We see here, first separated from God, Ephesians 2, 1 through 3, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of peace and the power of the air, We weren't following God. When we were born, until we came to that saving knowledge and who Jesus was, we weren't following Jesus Christ. If we take a look back, it's not just my desires, it's really just following Satan, the deceiver. The spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. Can you see that in the world? Absolutely. Can we see that in ourselves? Unfortunately, sometimes. But this is this spirit among whom, verse 3, we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. We were dead to God, following not him but Satan, deceived just like Adam and Eve. This is who we once were, but God. That's a pretty nice word, isn't it, Miss Pat? But God. But God being rich in mercy. Because of the great love with which he loved us. And not because we did anything special. But because God just loves and loves and loves. Even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So you see here in Jesus, we have been set apart from the world to God himself. We have been positionally, this is how God sees us. Because of Jesus, it's not just Brian making foolish things, saying things he shouldn't say, doing things he shouldn't say, and you fill in the blanks for all you all. But right now, this is where we are. He raised us up. That's a past tense. Not he will raise us up and he will seat us. We are raised up with him and seated with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Friends, this is where we are right now. This is how God sees us. We are seated in heaven in Christ Jesus. How awesome is that? We might not feel that way. We might not behave that way. Which is the great thing about having Scripture. We can look back to Scripture. All right, well, what is the reality? What is my spiritual reality? My spiritual reality and your spiritual reality, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, is you are seated with Jesus in heaven right now. That's how God sees us. Hebrews 10 and verse 10 and 14. We have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. For by a single offering he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. He's already set us apart. And I love this word here. So this verse 14, by a single offering, he's perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. So being sanctified does not mean being perfect. Can you look next to you and see an imperfect person? Please look to that. Yeah, there's some pretty people, but they're imperfect. It doesn't mean that they're not sanctified. They are not set apart to the Lord. So being sanctified does not mean my actions. Being sanctified is not about behavior. To be sanctified simply means to be set apart. Sanctified is just, it's a New Testament word for, we see the word holy. Holy just means to be set apart. Consecrated, once again, same word. Three different words throughout Scripture, they're synonyms. We are set apart. We're not perfect. We are set apart to God, and he's doing a wonderful work. So let me get back to that. Sometimes we confuse sanctified. If somebody is, man, sanctified, initially we think of the fruits of their actions. Man, David's really behaving himself well today. Yeah, he's pretty sanctified. Man, look at this great sanctified behavior. David must, and we get the cart in front of the horse. But you see, sanctified is really about your mind and your heart. Is this set apart to God? We'll get into what it looks like practically and all that. Sanctified is a position. And from that, so if you are with God, if your whole heart, mind, and soul is with God, is with Jesus, it's fully his, you know what's going to happen with your actions? They're going to be pretty good. You're going to have those fruits of the Spirit. You're going to have the love, the joy, the peace, the patience, those fruit of the Holy Spirit. That stuff is going to come out of it. We don't have to force it because we are walking with God. It might not be fun. It might not be happy all the time. I really don't want to do that, but I really don't want to not be obedient to God, so I'm going to do this anyways, and Lord, you handle the rest of it. So once again, to be sanctified does not mean doing the right thing necessarily, but to be separated from this world to God. If I am fully set apart to God, mind, body, soul, then the natural fruit that I would produce would be 100% righteous. If I'm fully there, then that's what's going to happen. Hebrews 13:2 once again says this is Jesus. So Jesus also suffered outside the gate in order to sanctify the people through his own blood. I don't sanctify myself. I don't set myself apart to God because I do good enough. You can't do good enough to set yourself apart from this world. It's almost like if you were an astronaut doing a spacewalk. Your jetpack failed out. Your tether to the International Space Station, it's broken. Now you are just floating in space. Can you swim hard enough to get back to that moving International Space Station? No. And unfortunately, whatever force kind of sent you out, you're just going to keep on going. There's no resistance. You just keep on going further and further and further away. There's nothing you can do. We need the Lord to set us apart. And that's just one of the many benefits of being a follower of Christ. Yes, our sins are forgiven, but it's to bring us back into that right relationship, to be set apart once again to him. Jesus did this through his blood. But Ephesians 2, it isn't over. As we continue in through that verse, we see the progress and we see eventually the perfected, the first perfected in verse 7, so that in the coming age he might show his immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. That can mean many things, but I see that in this context, eventually we're going to be perfected. We're going to get there. Because right now, I know my attitude isn't always sanctified. My heart, my desires aren't always, all right, Lord, I want 100% of the time. I probably shouldn't say that from the pulpit, but that's the reality of life. My flesh gets in the way. I want to do what pleases Brian the most. Is anybody else there with me? Say amen. All right, I'm glad you all want to do what makes best sense for Brian. I appreciate that. Anyways, I know, we do what's best for us too often. But we're going to be perfected. Verse 8, for by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not your own doing, it is the gift of God. We can't do anything to save us. We can't do anything to sanctify us. Not a result of works that no one can boast. Verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And so this is the progressive aspect of our sanctification, being set apart to him. Yes, positionally, I am there. And if I wasn't positionally there, sitting at the right hand of God in Jesus, then the perfection, having a hope that tomorrow I can perhaps have my mind more for him than yesterday, I don't have any hope. I'm hopeless. You're hopeless. So how does this positional sanctification work? Romans chapter 6 does a great job of this, and it also kind of bleeds into the progressive aspect and all this. But Paul writes, do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. We have the ability to be, we are a new creation. We might have newness of life. Come back tonight at 6 o'clock. We're going to talk about what it means to be a new creation. This morning, we're going to try to focus on the Jesus side of things. Tonight, we'll focus on the, what does that mean for us? We were buried with him by baptism into death. Now, this is the actual state of our spiritual self. We were baptized with Jesus by baptism into his death. We have fully died to our sins. Anything that is holding us back, Jesus has paid for. Verse 5, for if we have been united with him in a death like this, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like this. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. We're We're set free from sin. We don't have to enter into that area, that arena of bondage. And we see this aspect of resurrection. The gospel, apart from the resurrection of Jesus, the gospel in your life and mine without resurrection, it's a powerless gospel. Jesus died for our sins. That's great. There's a lot of great people who have died for other people. We think of people in the armed forces. We think of spouses. We think of friends. A lot of people have died, have given their life up for other folks, have they not? That just allows you perhaps to get another day of life. That doesn't necessarily change you. But Jesus, he was raised from the dead. He defeated death. He gets new life. So in Christ, we get a new life. We get newness of life in Jesus. It doesn't happen any other way. Because of our faith in Jesus, you and I have been set free from being slaves to sin. We were slaves before Jesus Christ. This is, we couldn't not obey Satan. We couldn't not obey the passions of the air. But we don't have to. That doesn't have to be us anymore. Jesus has given us that ability. In verse 8, now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. So you too must also consider yourself dead to sin and alive to God. We need to rework our brains, meditate on this awesome truth, and look at what Jesus has done for us. It's more than that ticket to heaven. Once again, we'll unpack that tonight at 6 o'clock. We need to transform that. Jesus didn't just die for that ability to be with him, to be in heaven, but to have that new relationship with him. But this is a progressive thing. This doesn't just happen. We're saved and we're now perfect and we now are, our minds and our thoughts are now all God. Which is why Paul says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. So this is the intentionality, each day presenting ourselves as a living sacrifice. Remember, we're already holy. We're already set apart to God. And I'll tell you, just praying that brings me incredible, it brings me joy, it encouraged me. Yeah, this is who I really am. My behavior wasn't set apart to God, it was set apart to flesh yesterday. But I am acceptable to God. That's a great spiritual truth. Well, one that I encourage you to hold on to. This is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. This is the progressive aspect of being sanctified. Allow this to transform you. There's going to be areas, as you can probably look back in your life, maybe when you're first saved, God worked out this little area. Then as you matured, it was onto this little area, and then this little area, and as we keep on going. And it can be kind of frustrating, can't it? It's like, Lord, I'm so done with just saying, of seeking forgiveness. I'm so done with falling flat on my face. Anybody feel that way? This is getting tiring, Lord. But he will transform you. He wants to transform you by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what the will of God is. What is good, perfect, acceptable, and perfect. We're going to become more like him. And finally, we're going to be perfectly sanctified. We'll be perfectly set apart to God. Not in this lifetime, though, unfortunately. Paul writes here to the Thessalonians, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. Completely. That's an exciting thing to think about. May your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, he will surely do it. It'll come that day when it'll finally happen. We'll be perfected. We'll finally, our body's keeping us away, the flesh and everything. We'll be there with God. And we'll be able to overcome those desires of the flesh because they won't exist anymore. We'll be perfectly his. Sanctified completely, and God will do it. So as we close out today, I want to leave you with this thought that God has set you apart from this world to himself. This is a spiritual reality. This is a truth that I think as followers of Jesus Christ, we often miss. We overlook because the appeals of the flesh, the appeals of following the ways of this world, they're subtle, they're deceptive, but they're also They give us something. They feed that flesh part of us. We have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. This has already happened. We have been sanctified. You have been set apart for His exclusive use. Jesus died on the cross for you, for that. If you turn your Bibles to the end of Revelation, I believe it's Revelation chapter 21, it might be 22. I don't have it on the screen here. Is Revelation chapter 21, verse 3 says, "And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be His people, and God Himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning or crying nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away." This is what we have to look hope for. This is what we have. And God is going to be, we are going to have this perfect, awesome relationship. We are going to be there with God in this new heaven, in this new earth. It's going to be a wonderful, wonderful time. And it's all because of Jesus. Let me pray. As you can see here, we're going to have take part in communion here this Sunday. So after we do a brief song. So if there's some time you need to do something right with the Lord, I don't want anybody to partake in communion that you're not quite right with the Lord, feels like there's a barrier, feel free to hold off. We'll be doing this the first Sunday of every month. But now is a great time to kind of get your heart right with the Lord. And this is a wonderful way to celebrate as we take part in the body and the cup. No, I am yours, Jesus. Because your body broken, your blood poured, I am yours. I am set apart to you. And what a wonderful way to celebrate and proclaim that. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for your love, for setting us apart to you. I pray that as we go about our business each day, as we go out, we would be seeking your will, seeking your desire. Lord, help us to be more and more like you. Transform our hearts and our minds, doing the work that only you can. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.